All right, brethren, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, I want to look at verses 7 through 10. From this passage, I want us to first see the race which God sets before every believer. And second, we're going to look at the lawful way in which we run this race. There's an unlawful way and there's a lawful way in which we run the race. And that lawful way is by faith. The race is run by faith. And then third, we'll see the obstacles which are in the way of the believer here. And then we'll close that by the grace of God. These comforting words that every child of God shall endure unto the end. I've titled this message, Running a Good Race. Running a Good Race. Let's begin by reading our text, verses 7 through 10 of Galatians 5. Paul says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." The believer's life in Christ is likened to a race. It's likened to a race. Now, it's not a sprint. It's not he who gets to the end the fastest, but rather it's a race that requires endurance. It's a race of endurance. Our Lord said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, the believer is taught by grace, by the Lord, in the Scriptures, he's taught that the goal, which is Christ, that it is a certainty. That it is a certainty of what we are striving to attain in Christ. He that endures to the end has life and fellowship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall not come short of that promise of God made unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 27 here. Again, likening our life in Christ to a race, Paul uses a race as an illustration. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." He that's running a race, training for a race, exercises control, he says, in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. An incorruptible crown. Now, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, Paul isn't teaching here that one for whom Christ's blood was shed can ever lose their salvation. Our Lord tells us that none shall pluck them, my people, out of my hand. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's nothing else can pluck you out of his hand, not even you. You can't even take yourself out of his hand. What he's actually emphasizing here is that our run is not a run of uncertainty. We're not running as one that's just beating the air. In other words, it's not a waste of time. We know what the prize is. We know who the prize is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is sure and certain. We're not going to come short of the inheritance in Christ. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, I've forsaken all other hopes, and I have one hope. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that in him I have life. And that's why Paul suffered for the gospel's sake. Because he knew, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to come up and stand before God. And all my enemies here in the flesh aren't going to be the ones sitting with God and mocking me for trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed. Those who trust in their own righteousnesses, those who trusted in the law, those who forsook Christ, and those who have no part in him, they shall be ashamed because they've woven a garment of their own righteousnesses, and that is filthy rags. It exposes our nakedness. Any who come to God in their own righteousnesses, they shall be ashamed. But you who come in Christ's blood alone shall never be ashamed. It's a sure and certain thing. Just as the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All right, so we see it's likened to a race. So Paul is speaking of running a race and attaining a prize. Now that prize is Christ. We that are in Christ have been justified from all our sins. We have received grace of our God. We have received his righteousness. We are cleansed of our sins and given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this race must be run lawfully. It must be run lawfully. He had said to Timothy, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Lawfully, you must follow the rule. If you don't follow the rules, you'll be disqualified. Many of you will probably remember that, I think it's about a decade ago now, there was a bicyclist named Lance Armstrong, and he was amazing. He won lots of races. He would always race in the Tour de France and maybe some others, I don't know, but he was winning that thing over and over and over again, and his European competitors hated him. And they felt like, surely he's doing something to cheat. And all the tests they did on his blood work, they could find nothing. But they stored that blood work. And eventually, they had a test that was able to go back and check that blood and found that there was something in his system that showed, oh, he was using something to help him be stronger and have better endurance and quicker. That wasn't detected initially, but eventually it was found out. And all those medals that he had won and been decorated with were stripped from him and given to the next in line. He was disqualified because he ran the race unlawfully. That's what we're saying here. Well, how is the race of the believer lawfully run? How do we lawfully run the race? The race is lawfully run by faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing I do saves me. No righteousness I bring to it has any effect, doesn't earn me any favor with God. Well, how is this faith obtained? The same way the believer's salvation is obtained. It's given. The faith we have in Christ is given to the believer by God. It's not of him that willeth, Paul said in Romans 9:16. It's not of him that willeth. It's not your decision. It's not of him that runneth. It's not of your good works. But of God that showeth mercy. God must show mercy. And that faith is not of the flesh, it's the gift of God. As he writes in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It's not a fruit of the flesh. It's the gift of God. God gives faith to whom he will. He blesses his child with that hope and faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says in Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, you should not obey the truth. What is the obedience to the truth? It's faith. Obedience to the truth is faith, believing that good word of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking to the person and work of Christ. It's an obedience which God works in his child by his grace. Look over at Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And the child of God is not trying to attain justification. We have obtained justification. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, is that he's obtained everything necessary for his child. If you're still working and laboring to justify yourself and to make yourself a Christian or a believer, you're not running the race lawfully. You're now doing something that disqualifies you from the race. Our justification is by the faith of Jesus Christ. And what is the faith of Jesus Christ? That's not talking about our faith. It's talking about his faith, his faithfulness to fulfill all the will of the Father perfectly, obediently, doing everything the Father sent him to do. That's the faith that we're talking of here in Galatians 2:16. So a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And then look, even we have believed. There's our faith. We believed in Jesus Christ. We believed, we bore that fruit given to us by the Spirit of God, that we might be justified, not by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And our hope is fixed in his justifying atonement. What he did satisfied God perfectly. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so the child of God is shown the salvation wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're made to know all my attempts, my work at the law, my following the traditions of men, my seeking to receive forgiveness of sins and to deliver myself, it all comes to nothing. Christ has obtained all that for his child. And this is why the scriptures say the just shall live by his faith. It's described as our faith because God gave it to us. Who he loves, he gives faith, and they believe and they walk by that faith. That's the lawful running of the race. We walk by faith, believing. We don't see in this flesh what we would see. As we talked about in the last hour, this flesh still has sin present in it. We're still tempted by that sin. But thanks be to God, he's put it away. The punishment of my sins has been paid in full by the blood of Christ, who bore it for me and now delivers me from the guilt of sin, from the dominion of sin, and from the condemnation of sin. I don't stand in the inheritance of Adam anymore. I stand in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been born again, and all who hope in him have been born again and stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the lawful running of the race is by faith. By faith is how we obey the truth. That's the obedience that God works in his child. They believe him. They hear what he says, as he said in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Look to him. Look to him, brethren. Trust him. He's everything that we need to stand before holy God, accepted, justified by him. Now, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was teaching the churches when he said to Philippians 3:7, he said, "What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul's saying, every religious work that I had done, I turned away from it, treating it like it's garbage. It's just dung to me, because everything I need is perfectly 100% provided in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything for the believer. Everything. I want to be found in him, not having any stain of my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Christ's faithfulness. The righteousness which is of God by faith, received and understood by faith in the Lord's people. We're taught, shown of God, that he's given everything in Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then he said in Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I run that race which God has set before me, looking unto Jesus, my Lord and Savior, by faith, lawfully running it by faith, trusting that just as God said, so it is. I'm not believing myself. I'm a liar. I'm a wicked man in this flesh. I'm nothing in this flesh. I have no confidence in this flesh, but I have every confidence in Christ." And that's how we run, by faith. That's the lawful running, by faith. Now, we come to obstacles. Let's read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 5, 7 through 9. Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Who put this obstacle before you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." God didn't teach you this. "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." He's saying a little sin, just a little work that you add to it, destroys the whole thing. It's entirely polluted now because of your work which you've added. It's just leaven. Our works are leaven, and it just raises the whole thing with pride, and now we glory in self, and God receives none of it. It's all ruined. Throw it out. Now, there's many obstacles in this race, and by nature, we're not equipped to run this race lawfully. We don't have it. In this flesh, we're dead, right? Dead men don't run races. But the scriptures do describe the race of the natural man. It's called, in Ephesians 2:2, it's called the course of this world. That's what this flesh is running. The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's a course of death. It's where the dead run. And the prize that they obtain at the end is eternal death and separation from Almighty God. Without the grace of God giving you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting his faithfulness, you'll just run this course of the world, and you're going to die in your sins. Our Lord, he told the Jews, he said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But he that believes me, he that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, you're familiar with the parable of the sower. And these are speaking of the obstacles that are before man in his flesh. These are the obstacles. There's the seed which fell by the wayside. And we're told that seed was devoured by the fowls of the air. And what the Lord tells us is that's the wicked one who comes when this word is preached, the people hear it, but he comes and snatches it away. And there's many people that hear what Christ has done, what he's accomplished for his people by himself, not looking to anything that the believer does. They hear that and they rejoice in it for the moment, but then they go right out and they go right back to their works, looking to what they've done, forgetting everything they just heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't profit them one bit because they speak about Christ, but all they're looking to is what they do or don't do for any hope before God, forgetting what Christ has done for his people. Then there's the seed which fell upon stony places. And we're told that what grew up there, a plant grew up pretty quickly, but it withered, being scorched by the sun. Why? Because it has no root. It's not connected to Christ. It's born, it springs forth out of the flesh, saying, oh, that sounds pretty good. And they go out and they start to repeat what they've heard, but then persecution comes, saying, what? That's not right. Either that's foolish to believe in Christ. That's just a fable. Don't listen to that. Or they say, what are you talking about? You have to follow the law. Christ isn't sufficient. You've got to now keep the law if you're a Christian. You've got to do X, Y, and Z. And so that person hearing and a plant coming up brings forth no fruit because they wither under the persecution in whatever form it takes. And they say, you know what? I don't need this. And they get offended and they turn away from it. And I remember meeting somebody that rejoiced for a time. And then she got into a car accident and she got fired and had all these problems soon after. And she stopped coming. She stopped coming to hear the gospel because she said, as soon as I believed on Christ, all this trouble came. She had no root in Christ. It was just of the flesh. And the persecution offended her, and she died. Now, there's also that seed which falls among thorns. It grows up for a time, but it gets choked out. It gets choked out by the thorns. For that one, it's the care of the world. It's the deceitfulness of riches. Right? You begin to make some money, and you begin to get some expendable income, you know, where you can just dispose of disposable income. There it is. Disposable income, and you start enjoying some of the finer things, so-called finer things of life, and that becomes your love and your interest, and you give more of yourself to those things to pamper and please the flesh, and you don't necessarily turn away from Christ. You just become unfruitful, being choked out by the thorns of this life. That's all describing where the dead run in the course of the world. Right? But the Lord brings his people through all that, connecting them to Christ, giving them Christ, hope in Christ. And though they struggle and are troubled by those things for a time, the Lord teaches them, strengthening them by the gospel word, the word preached, where he feeds his sheep and comforts his sheep and gives them that hope fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching them, delivering them from those pitfalls and obstacles and stumblings that the world stumbles over and falls away. And so the good ground hearer is prepared by the Spirit, hearing of what Christ has done, and they bear fruits of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Galatians, they were being charmed by the Judaizers, right? They were being charmed by the vain traditions of men. They were being hindered by the obstacles of the law and man's tradition, right? They came and said, that's great that you believe on Jesus. That's wonderful. But now you've got to mature. You've got to start eating strong meat. Come on over to the law. And so they began to circumcise the men. And Paul says, this persuasion, this charming that you're being taken away with is not of him that calleth you. God hasn't turned you to the law. He doesn't do that. Following the law, you know, makes us critical of others. When we look to the law, we begin to get critical of others who aren't focused on or looking at the things that we're looking at and doing well. And so then we begin to start noticing, wait a minute, the Lord just showed me that. They don't see that. And then we begin to criticize them in some way. It doesn't produce love in the heart or faith toward God. Why? Well, the law is not a faith. He tells us that in Galatians 3:12, the law is not a faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. But the believer runs this race obeying the truth. That is, he walks by faith, trusting the Lord, waiting upon the Lord to work his righteousness, his will, bear those fruits in him, trusting Christ is all. Christ is all. And when you don't see what you would see, it causes you to groan and to cry out in the Spirit, Lord, save me. Lord, keep me. Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. Lord, provide for me. Keep me. And we walk by faith, trusting that he has done everything. As Paul was taught in the end of Romans 7, when he cried out, saying, who shall deliver me, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The law? No. Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are delivered. Looking to the Savior, trusting him. A little leaveneth the whole lump. Just one bit of the law. Just that circumcision that they were doing. Just that one tiny bit that they added to the work of Christ puffed the whole thing up and ruined the whole loaf. It destroyed the whole thing. And so the law and the works of man, they take our eyes off of Christ. If we're running to Christ, if we're running by faith, looking to him, knowing the certainty of our inheritance in Christ, but if we, and looking to him by faith, if we turn back to the law, that's going backwards. That's going away from the goal, because it's turning us back to the flesh. It turns us back to the flesh, and that's what we've been delivered from. Now, if you don't succumb to those hindrances, if you don't stumble over those obstacles, Paul says there's hardness for you. And you're going to endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ. He said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution for it. Because it's an offense that you should hope in Christ, that you should come and declare what he's done for you. And that you're telling me all my works under the law are filthy? And they persecute you. They separate you from their company because you're not speaking like they are. But Christ tells us we shall suffer. We're going to have obstacles, but it comes in the form of afflictions, of difficulties, of trials, of sorrows, of troubles, of sufferings, of adversities and afflictions, all for the faith that we have in Christ. And Paul asked in Galatians 5:11, he said, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if I was preaching the law, something of the law, why am I yet being persecuted by my countrymen? Why are they coming around behind me to undo everything I've done if I was preaching the law? They'd be content. Because if I preach the law, then the offense of the cross ceases. Because the cross, Christ crucified, declares to us, we cannot save ourselves. God would not have sent his son to lay down his life for his people if there was a law that was given that we could have kept and made ourselves righteous by. And so when you preach Christ, you're declaring we're sinners and we can't do anything to save ourselves. God provided it freely. By grace in his son, look to him. Have no confidence in your works. And that angers the flesh. That angers the flesh. Because it's saying salvation belongs to the Lord. And he blesses his people. And he comforts and teaches them. James said it this way in 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life forever. which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And we do love him. The more we see of what we are in this flesh, what sinners we are, what we are in Adam, the hatred, the enmity that's in this flesh against God and what he delivered me from in Christ, the more we love him because we see what great sinners we are. He that's saved from little loves little. And he that's saved from much loves much because we know, Lord, I'm a vile dead dog. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Now we come to the final point, the fourth point, where our confidence lies. Thankfully, Paul calls them brethren in verse 11. Because in verse 10, he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. You know, sometimes we do struggle. Sometimes we do stumble and succumb to the hindrances or some charm, and our eyes are taken off of the prize, which is Christ, and we look to the things that we're doing, and we turn to fleshly things, and we look critically at our brethren and judge them and speak evil of them and doubt them and speak critically of them. You know, we saw that with the Corinthian church when they were going after Apollos and Cephas, preferring his preaching over Paul's. And Paul said, that's carnal. You guys are focused on fleshly things. You're not trusting the Lord. You're not believing him. You're not looking to him. So it does happen. Don't be quick to judge your brethren and to doubt them. I'm reminded of what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The only confidence we have is Christ. And we know that's how the Lord saves his people, by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by the works that we add. We're not saved in being harsh or condemning of others. We're saved by Christ. Pray for them. Pray for them. Speak the truth to them, but speak to them in love. And remember your brethren in love. Love beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never faileth. It won't fail. Stay in the Lord. Trust him. Believe him. Now, Paul said to these stumbling Galatians, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Not confidence in them, but our confidence is in Christ. And we trust him to keep us. But it is going to be a walk of faith. He gives faith because you're going to lean on that faith which he's given you. You're going to learn to trust him through the difficulties and learn not to have any confidence in the flesh. So keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one who is leading you home. He's provided everything. It's sure and certain you're just running that race which the Father hath set before you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's leading you. You're following him in faith. Now, I'm going to close with an illustration. When I was in ninth grade, I signed up for high school track and field. I had never run track before, but I signed up for the track and field, and I was a long-distance runner. I was a cross-country runner, is what they called it, and their courses are something like 3.1 miles to 3.3 miles each race. And I was in my first race. So I didn't know what I was doing. I had never been in this type of a competition before. And if I remember correctly, they let us freshmen go out first. We had a head start of some amount of seconds in the race or something like that is how it was. And I say that because I remember I was out there for a little while and I was trying to figure out where this course went because it was sparsely marked as we ran. And I was all alone and beginning to feel the pain of running. You know, you get that cramp in your side, your knees, the ligaments, you know, and the tendons are like, what are you doing here? What is this? You get these pains and things, and you're not sure, is this normal? Am I going to make it through this thing? Do I just keep running and doing this thing? Well, I remember hearing someone from behind me coming up, and he said, "Joe, Joe, Joe, Joe." And I was like, what? And I looked back and I could see it was someone on my team. It was one of the varsity guys. And he said, lead or follow. And I didn't know what that really meant. But in the context, I was like, well, it must have something to do with the race. And I'm not going to lead because I don't know what I'm doing. So I said, I'll follow. So he goes up in front of me. And he's going at a faster pace than I was. And I'm like, whoa, I'm going to lose this guy if I don't pick it up here. So I began to, you know, push myself a little bit, and I caught up to him again. And it was hard because he was going faster than I was. He was a varsity runner, and I'm a freshman. And so I remember all I did was just eventually I noticed his feet, the flick of his feet coming up. And I just watched those feet. And when he sped up, I sped up. And if he slowed down, I slowed down. Whatever he did, wherever he went, I was just watching his feet, just watching him. And before I knew it, the loneliness was gone. The pains I wasn't thinking about anymore. I was just looking at his feet. And before I knew it, we crossed the finish line. The race was over. And apparently, I had run a good race. I was told by my coaches and the other teammates, they said, you did good. I said, well, all I did was follow him. I didn't do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I just followed him. And that's the point. We're looking at Christ. We don't have the strength or the ability. We're just looking at him. And he carries his people over the finish line. He's already seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to him, you shall run a good race, because it's all of him. It says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's leading you home. He's the leader. You're just following him, looking to him. And he's going to bring you across that finish line. And the Father is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've run a good race. I didn't do anything, Lord. I just followed him. And we'll give him all the thanks and the praise and the glory. So endure that, looking to Christ, the sure and certain prize, whom the Father has given freely, because he loves you and provided everything for you in his Son. Amen.